May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock, my redeemer. Amen. So the text for today's first series of On the Road with Jesus comes from our gospel lesson, and I want to specifically focus in on verse 37, which reads, "Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear." So Jesus got into the boat and returned. So for our text, please be seated. So we are beginning this sermon series, as Pastor Woodfin mentioned, taking us on the road with Jesus throughout the summer as we preach each Sunday going forward through the Gospel of Luke. As Luke depicts the story of Jesus in his 3 years of ministry and how he interacted with people and then what their reactions were for him or to him. So our On the Road series with Jesus doesn't really start out on the road, but we're going to start out over the seas, the Sea of Galilee. And the trip didn't start out so smooth. The verses just before our text today were the story that I'm sure you're very familiar with. Jesus is sleeping in the boat, the sea's torment, the disciples are freaking out, and they wake him up. And as you know, Jesus with a word calms the wind and the sea. So I like this picture of on the road for Jesus, but I think there's a more appropriate one that maybe leads in or summarizes this sermon. So if you could go to the next picture, if you have that, that might be more relevant. So after that boat ride with the tempest and the storm, I am certain that the disciples were excited to just get to the shore and have some rest and some relaxation. And well, per our text, that's not what they meant when they stepped ashore. Let me remind you, when Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from town. A demon-possessed man. A man who is terrifying. A man who lives amongst the tombs in the cemetery. A man who ran around naked with no clothing. A man who, when tried to be shackled and chained, broke the chains and ran off into the desert. He could not be controlled. And what is the reaction by him when Jesus comes ashore? He begs not to be sent into the abyss. And actually, the demons beg not to be sent into the abyss. So Jesus sends them into a herd of pigs. They run off into the seashore and drown. The townsfolk must have been so happy to have this demon-possessed man back to normal. That must be their reaction, wasn't it? No, it wasn't. As I mentioned, our text. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. Our series, On the Road with Jesus, is having a bit of a rocky start. Demons, pigs, and being sent back across the sea. Why, after this encounter with Jesus, in the midst of his obvious power over all things, including this legion of demons, did the people of the Gerasenes ask Jesus to leave? That's the reaction to their interaction with Jesus. That's what I want you to focus in on these months or these weeks coming up as we go through this series in Luke. People's reaction to an interaction with Jesus Christ. Some cling to him in faith, like the no longer demon-possessed man, and some turn away from him, like all the other people in the Gerasenes. And that's not new, my friends. That continues today. But there are some differences to people today and the people in our text in the Gerasenes. And the difference has to do with the Trinity. And I am not speaking of the Holy Trinity. I am speaking of the unholy Trinity. Last week, Pastor Gertner did a wonderful job speaking about the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God. I love that depiction. I want to spend a little bit of time on the unholy Trinity, sin, death, and the power of the devil. You see, the people in our text acknowledged and feared all three. We today still do acknowledge sin. We do still acknowledge death and fear them both. But I argue to you that we no longer have fear of the devil and things demonic. Those people back then must not have understood science and medicine and what was really going on, right? Let me quote Holy Scripture to you. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. And Jesus then asked him, Jesus interacted with demons, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion." For many demons had entered him, and they begged him not to command them to be departed into the abyss. Jesus believes and acknowledges and understands Satan and demons as real. Do you? How many here have read C.S. Lewis' book, The Screwtape Letters? It is truly a wonderful kind of turn on things. It's a book about a demon, an older demon, an uncle demon named Screwtape. And he's trying to train his nephew named Wormwood on how to be a demon and how to win people from the enemy. And the enemy in the book is Jesus. Letter 7 in that book describes the demon's strategy, that if humans no longer believe that demons are anything except comic strip characters, then humans will lean in on their own understanding and will lose both their fear of Satan and their fear of God. We today know death. We today know sin and its damaging effects. But we today, I would argue, have lost a fear and acknowledgement of Satan. And that is exactly where Satan and his demons would like us to be. For if we lose our fear in Satan, so too we will lose our fear and our need for a protecting God. Should we fear God? Yes, we are poor, miserable sinners. But as we learn in the small catechism, with what does this mean, we should fear and love God, our gracious, loving, heavenly Father. Should we fear Satan? Martin Luther did. Here in the large catechism, his explanation to the last petition of the Lord's Prayer, "But deliver us from evil." For because the devil is not only a liar, but a murderer as well, he incessantly seeks our life and vents his anger by causing accidents and injury to our bodies. He crushes some and drives others to insanity. Some he drowns in waters, and many he hounds to suicide or other dreadful catastrophes. Therefore, there is nothing for us to do on earth but pray without ceasing. against this arch enemy. For if God did not support us, we would not likely be safe for a single hour. When's the last time you prayed against the arch enemy? My mom taught me to pray when I was little, and the phrase I always said, "And send your guardian angels to watch over us." What words of comfort. What words of supernatural warfare that truly are going on. As we entered the seminary, the very first words they say to us at orientation is, "Gentlemen, be prepared. Now Satan is going to come after you full force, because if he can bring one of you down, what a victory that would be." That's also the beauty of baptism. Ardent, marked on the heart, marked on the mind, the places Satan comes after us as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Amen. We know we have the victorious Lamb of God, that he has won the war. But today I have to argue sadly that Satan's doing pretty well in this battle in our current culture and in our current society. The people in our text, the Gerasenes, feared Satan and his demons. And sadly, they feared but did not acknowledge and know Jesus, the Savior of the world, standing right in front of them. We here in this place, in this sanctuary, we may not properly fear and acknowledge Satan and his demons, but thank God we do know our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who should be feared, for even the winds and the waves listen to his voice. Even Satan and all his demons acknowledge Jesus as the Son of the Most High God. And this same Jesus, who is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, desires us, protects us, loves us. A love truly incomprehensible. A love so selfless that he came down from his throne in heaven and joined us in our poor humanity. A love so deep that he suffered death, and not only death, but carrying all of our sin to that cross and being forsaken by the Father. A love so conquering that he descended into hell, the place of Satan and the demons, and declared victory for us. A love so everlasting that he swallowed up death, so that you and I truly will live everlasting life. A love so complete that we too will physically live in the presence of our Father, just as he ascended humanity back into that presence. And a love so protective that we need not be lost in fear of sin, fear of death, and yes, fear of Satan. As Jesus reminds us with these words just before he ascended into heaven, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Thank God without ceasing that we live on this side of heaven in the peace and in the protection of our loving Savior. In his name, amen.